Welcome to Blind Abilities. I'm Jeff Thompson.
She's a nutritionist.
If you come in there and you just pick apart somebody's whole life and say, okay, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, you can't do this, you can't do that, they're going to walk away and just feel like they've been torn to shreds.
She's a consultant.
You want to take what they're doing and you want to expand it, but you want them to come to the conclusions themselves. You don't want to come at them and say, you need to change this and you need to do that and you need to, you know.
She has family values.
And I know my husband, sometimes he, you want me to buy what? Where do you get that at?
She understands school lunches.
For example, you take out some type of sugary thing and you put in fruit. It's almost like you've damaged their kids in some way.
She has tips and tricks for any occasion.
I mean, sometimes it's really difficult when you're out, but a lot of times it's just watching your portion size, you know, take half of it home, because sometimes they provide you with this stuff and it's like, who could really eat all of that?
She's very observant.
Whoa, like you've just exceeded your whole day's worth in one meal.
She understands today's problems.
So if they have limited transportation in their area, they can only bring back certain amounts of food on the bus. They're going to skip a lot of the fresh foods and they're going to go to more of the processed foods because of the shelf duration.
She's taken on the challenge of college.
I think most of the hard stuff was in my undergrad, though, with the chemistry.
She's been there and done the work.
For one semester, I had a little bit of sight. The next semester, I had nothing. And so it was like, I'm scrambling to try to learn all of this stuff. It was kind of intense.
And she wants to give back.
I want to share it with other people because if I didn't know it, they probably don't know it. And I want to be able to be the person to provide that information to them.
From using the computer.
But yeah, going back to the F keys, we're starting out with Excel and you don't know that F2 allows you to edit a box. That is going to be the most powerful thing, because otherwise if you backspace, it deletes the whole cell.
Just sharing with others so they too can benefit from her experiences.
That's sort of how it is. It's like dominoes with us. I know something that you don't, and you know something that I don't, and then it's like a domino effect. A lot of times there's tutorials out there, but they're not meant for people that are blind, so we have to adapt it all to us, and so better to learn from those who've figured it out.
She's determined and understands the big picture.
I see the statistics like everybody else, you know, this whole 70% unemployment rate, and then there's debate over whether it's actually higher than that or not. If I can show somebody that can be done and they can move on from that, we need to flip that number. I'm just going to continue to do everything that I possibly can to get on the 30 side.
Let's meet Cheryl McIntosh, Mo Lucy. Today we have Cheryl, a.k.a. Lucy. She's right down the corridor in the next cubicle from me. She's another Blind Abilities team member, and I'm glad to have her on here. I'm going to have her talk about some of the stuff she does for Blind Abilities and some of her interests, goals, and successes. Well, welcome fellow Blind Abilities team member, Cheryl. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great, Cheryl. Thank you very much. You know, we're always looking for great content. And one of the great content generators is Cheryl. She's always digging into information, looking it up for us and finding it for us to do podcasts on and bringing us blogs where she writes about tips and tricks for the college, tips and tricks for students, transition age students, job searching, job markets, careers, everything like that. She does everything. So Cheryl, nutrition, dietitian, that type of stuff. How did your interest in nutrition come about?
Well, I'm asked this question quite often, actually. When I got pregnant with my son, I started reading a lot about nutrition and what I could do as a mother, you know, to make his life better. And so that's really what sparked it. And I started out going to community college in Virginia, and I really didn't have any plans while I was there. I just wanted to take classes and hopefully they would transfer because I knew we were moving from there. And I really got interested in sociology, but I figured that that wasn't something that was going to allow me an opportunity at work. So I changed my major a couple times and ended up in the field of nutrition. And it was a hard road because of the emphasis on chemistry throughout the whole thing. And of course, I was the first blind student who had ever went through the program at the school that I attended. So I got through it, and, you know, it's a really hard program to get through, and I got through it okay. So, and I'm still pursuing my master's degree.
So as a nutritionalist, I suppose a lot of people steer away from you because you start out with, so what are you eating?
Oh yeah. Like you get a lot of people that are uncomfortable with you because they feel like you're going to judge what they're eating or that you're going to ask what they're doing or somehow assess what they're doing. And it's like, I'm not like that at all. You can eat what you want.
I think you should just put a camera in the kitchen right on the refrigerator so you can see what they're eating.
Yeah.
And then you can have that information feed into an app and you could diagnose it, give them a call and say, bad Jeff, bad Jeff.
I had a friend actually one time and she was sitting near me and she's like, I'm so happy that you can't see what I'm eating right now because you would not be happy. And I said, just whatever. I don't care.
So Cheryl, when you're prescribing nutrition or talking about nutrition, you narrow it down to an individual. You can't do like a whole entire community, can you?
Well, we actually do both. We do what you're talking about would be community nutrition, where you'd kind of do like an approach of, okay, this area needs these things. This area needs to increase their vegetable and fruit intake. So that's what you would emphasize in the community. But you can also do individualized plans as well.
That's interesting.
So we're trained to do a lot of stuff, actually. We can do community nutrition, so we can go work like at WIC clinics or like a land-grant university that works with the community. We can do food science. We can do clinical nutrition, which is done typically at a hospital or a nursing home. We can be a food service manager at a food facility, like in a hospital or a cafeteria on campus or something along those lines. We can own our own practice. We can work at grocery stores. We can do a lot.
I really kind of forgot about like big communities such as hospitals, I suppose old folks' homes, or you know, all sorts of stuff like that. Yeah. Now, the FDA or the
USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture.
Right. How does that come into play when they say, like, use margarine, not butter, use butter, not margarine, milk is bad, milk is good? What happens when they change that? What happens? How does that affect you as a dietitian?
Well, hopefully when they make those claims, it's an evidence-based approach. So basically, they've taken a multitude of studies, not just one, and come to some type of conclusion. But we do alter what we say based on the science that we are given. But ultimately, it's up to you and your client. If they feel better about a certain product over another, then you can try to guide them in the right direction. But sometimes when you're dealing with people, there's so many things going on that you can't focus on every little detail of what is happening with them or their diet. So you want to look at the biggest picture. If they have hypertension, for example, you're going to start thinking of salt and you're going to start thinking of potassium, so fruits and vegetables. And if you can do those two things, then you can work on other stuff later. But a lot of times it's just small changes. I feel like if you come in there and you just pick apart somebody's whole life and say, okay, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, you can't do this, you can't do that, they're going to walk away and just feel like they've been torn to shreds
and shamed.
So you don't want to do that. You just want to say, oh, you know, this is a really great thing you're doing. Could we do more of that? Another thing that we focus on is motivational interviewing. And so you want to take what they're doing and you want to expand it, but you want them to come to the conclusions themselves. You don't want to come at them and say, you need to change this and you need to do that and you need to, you know,
put down the Twinkie.
Yeah. But if you ask them, say, well, what do you think you can do to change? Or what do you think one thing you can do to, you know, make more time for exercise or something, and let them make their own plan is the best way to do it.
Cheryl, I think it's great for your family to have you in the household, you know, making decisions on especially the grocery list. But, you know, in the typical family, it would be great to have someone that's in the household that's really concerned about the nutritional value of the food coming in, you know, especially that grocery getter person, you know.
Yeah, Yeah, and I know my husband, sometimes he, you want me to buy what? Where do you get that at? I'm like, tahini, which is a sesame paste for hummus. He's like, where would you find that?
Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, they've adopted a lot of the stuff that I've implemented. And I mean, even sometimes in my own household, it can be hard.
How about school lunches?
Well, it depends on where you go to school. Some of them have done some really good things about it. Others are really resistant. But the thing that's really interesting to me about it is that a lot of times people feel that if you change anything in the school food system, for example, you take out, I don't know, some type of sugary thing and you put in fruit, it's almost like you've damaged their kids in some way. Like, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. It's like, we're trying to do something to help them to make sure that they don't end up, you know, having diabetes or something. Because I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to watch my kids go through that. That's really rough. So
is pizza a vegetable?
No. So you could put vegetables on pizza.
This place down the road here from us, they have like gluten-free crust. Yeah, gluten-free crust. It's neat that they have those options.
Well, the gluten trend is sort of misleading in a lot of ways. Some of the gluten products are actually worse for you than the actual whole wheat product. So you
don't
have,
say that.
If you have celiac disease, then obviously it's an awesome thing for them to offer that, because that is really difficult. But the hard thing about celiac disease, people who really have it, even in situations like that, is if they prepare that dough in the same area that they prepared the wheat dough with the gluten, the person that has the gluten intolerance is going to be exposed to it.
Oh, yeah, just like nut allergies, if they've used the same pans, if they use the same grease, if they, you know.
Yeah. Sometimes it's misleading because it is gluten-free, but you have to make sure that your kitchen staff is well-prepared and understand that you can't even use the same pan. You can't even, you know, like it has to be totally separate, so.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
It is. Say you're traveling. Sometimes you get on the road, you travel for a few hours and you stop at a restaurant. How do you approach that?
I typically go for the vegetarian option myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's nice that a lot of them have those type of options.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And a lot of them are pretty good. I mean, sometimes it's really difficult when you're out, but a lot of times it's just watching your portion size, you know, take half of it home, because sometimes they provide you with this stuff and it's like, who could really eat all of that?
Oh yeah, the 22 ounce steak.
Yeah, and then you look at the calories and it's like 3,800 and like 4,000 milligrams of sodium. And
a Reuben sandwich. A Reuben sandwich with Thousand Island dressing on it is astronomical. And then chase it down with a slice of pecan pie.
Yeah, and a Coke. There you go. Yeah. And a lot of people eat those kinds of things for lunch during the day. You know, when they're at work, they'll stop by a restaurant, eat, and go back to work. And it's like, whoa.
Mm.
Like, you've just exceeded your whole day's worth in one meal. And you still have dinner and breakfast and everything to go. So,
Cheryl, there's a word that's being thrown around all the time that I hear. And it's called sedentary.
Yes.
Could you explain sedentary?
So sedentary just means that people aren't very physically active. So they're sitting around the house a lot, or possibly if they work in an office, and it's not necessarily their fault. I mean, if you have an office job and you work on the computer all day, it's not really your fault that you're stuck at your desk. So that's essentially what it means.
I always thought that they should have a bicycle underneath the desk. So to get power to your computer, you got to pedal.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that with treadmills and stuff too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're just, you walk along the treadmill or whatever and it charges your laptop.
You think these gyms would be able to generate their whole power system, you know, by people on the treadmill. Get on the treadmill, we need juice.
Yeah.
Hydration. That's another word that's been thrown around out there. Hydrate. It used to be, hey, I'm thirsty, I'm going to get a drink of water. Common sense. But hydrate. You got to stay hydrated. That's, you know, a big catchphrase nowadays. What is it? Is it drinking 8 glasses of water a day? Is that what hydration is?
Well, I think it's just focusing on having water as your main beverage. You know, water does a lot of really good things for our body. You know, it flushes us out and keeps us going and all kinds of stuff. So a lot of times people, you know, choose soda and stuff. And although, it, you know, essentially there's water in there, your body has to process all that other stuff out too. So,
but like there's water in coffee, and someone said that actually caffeine dehydrates you.
Yeah. Or like people that drink beer on hot days, it doesn't work that way. So
all this nutrition stuff, going to school, visually impaired. How did that, and I believe you're going to an online university right now.
Yeah, I think most of the hard stuff was in my undergrad, though, with the chemistry. That was the hardest portion of it. And when I started, I had a little bit of sight, so I was able to sort of look at things.
Mm-hmm.
I lost the rest of my sight a couple years ago. So for one semester, I had a little bit of sight. And the next semester, I had nothing. And so it was like, I'm scrambling to try to learn all this stuff. It was kind of intense. I had a friend that I met, and she really wanted to see me succeed. And I wasn't getting much help from anybody. So she had actually done something totally awesome for me. She took my biochemistry. They were basically drawings, and so obviously you can't see those. She took it to Kinko's, and she expanded them out into a poster size. I mean, like a huge thing. And then she took puffy paint, and she made them all tactile so that I could feel, like, the different molecules and different areas and stuff. And then she got a hold of one of those little handheld brailler things, and she just taught herself to braille. I mean, it was sort of...
Wow. Where do you get these people?
Yeah, it was sort of crazy because, like, obviously she doesn't know the rules of braille, so certain things I would have to try to determine, like, okay, that's supposed to be a number 2, not a B or whatever, because she didn't realize there was a number sign.
Oh, okay, so, yeah.
Like, H2O become, like, HBO. So I would have to sort of decipher what she was actually getting at there.
It's shorthand. How can you complain about someone that learns braille for you?
Yeah.
When it comes to people helping people, you've done a lot of blogs and a lot of posts on assisting, you know, especially in the college area, career area, home management.
Yeah. I listened to a podcast a while back, and it was the guy who really started the NVDA mission, and he said something really powerful in that message. He says, you know, we get a lot of help from people, and so he says it's our obligation to give that back. And that's really how I feel too. So if I learn something, I want to share it with other people, because if I didn't know it, they probably don't know it, and I want to be able to be the person to provide that information to them. And I think it serves a couple purposes, actually. Sometimes I'll learn something and I'll hurry up and throw together a blog post for blind abilities. And later on, I'll forget how to do it. And I'll just have to pull up that blog post and be like, oh, here's step-by-step directions on how to do it. So it's not only helping me, but it's helping other people too if they end up going to there.
I remember your F something post.
Yeah, those F keys, man. They can do a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I've actually gone to do those once in a while and just kind of looked them up and go, oh, yeah. Because I'm using a Mac, but every once in a while I have to jump on my wife's PC. And it's like, you know, when you're not using it all the time, it's nice to have a spot to go for reference. So some of those blogs are really good, and your podcasts that you're doing, people can gather from those.
Yeah, and if anybody has any type of suggestions on what they want to see or whatever, let me know. I'd be more than willing to share anything. But yeah, going back to the F keys, we're starting out with Excel, and you don't know that F2 allows you to edit a box. That is going to be the most powerful thing, because otherwise if you backspace, it deletes the whole cell.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to be able to know that F2 key is like your friend. There's a really good tutorial that Tim Sniffen put out on, it's a iBooks, it's a free, it's called Mac something, but he goes through numbers in there.
Mastering the Macintosh with voiceover by Tim Sniffen on iBooks. Introduction dedication. This book is dedicated to our country's blinded veterans, heroes, all. If this book helps even a few of them to use the Macintosh productively, I am well recompensed. An iPhone approach to the Mac. This book is written with a voiceover first.
Oh, good.
Trackpad first.
Mac. See, I'm learning right now.
Yeah. But that's sort of how it is. It's like dominoes with us. It's I know something that you don't, and you know something that I don't, and then it's like a domino effect. And a lot of times there's tutorials out there, but they're not meant for people that are blind, so we have to adapt it all to us, and so who better to learn from those who've figured it out?
Half a glass of vinegar in a dishwasher and then turn it on. That's a good way to clean your dishwasher. I remember that one from you.
Yeah.
Father-in-law expertise.
Yeah. Yep. So I get the dishwasher talk every time he comes.
Checks it out.
Which model do you have?
Where do you get your drive for all this? You know, giving back, education, looking at all sorts of different angles. You're always tackling different tasks for blind abilities, whether it be, you know, in all the areas we talked about. And it doesn't surprise me if you branch off in another area. Where's your drive come from?
Well, I think a lot of it just has to come from my thought process. If I'm having trouble with it, other people probably are too. And I see the statistics like everybody else, you know, this whole 70% unemployment rate, and then there's debate over whether it's actually higher than that or not. If I can show somebody that it can be done and they can move on from that, we need to flip that number. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I feel. And so I'm just going to continue to do everything that I possibly can to get on the 30 side.
There you go.
And a lot of people know my husband was in the Marine Corps, and the Marine Corps has a motto, and it's called adapt and overcome. So no matter what obstacle you come across, you have to find a way to adapt and overcome. And so that was something that I learned through him, through the Marine Corps. And that's really what I think pushes me.
Like in your nutrition, your dietitian stuff, that's not blindness related. I mean, some people say blind people have a problem with weight. I think it's nationwide, really.
Actually, the blind community does have, like, I think twice as likely to be obese and have other problems higher than just the general society as a whole. It is a problem, a huge problem.
But it's not a specific problem for, I mean, when you're talking nutrition, that's all humans.
Well, it is true, but I can see certain components. So say, for example, like I've heard a lot of people even on the channel that have talked about, you know, obtaining food. So if they have limited transportation in their area, they can only bring back certain amounts of food on the bus. They're going to skip a lot of the fresh foods and they're going to go to more of the processed foods because of the shelf duration, or if they have other people shopping for them, or if they don't have, you know, they haven't had cooking training and they can just throw stuff in a toaster or something like that. So a lot of their independent living skills are going to determine their nutritional status too. And a lot of times, you know, they have these great pickup services, but if you don't drive, then it doesn't help you at all.
Right.
So, I mean, there's so many components. And, you know, there's some people with limited mobility skills. They haven't maybe had a lot of mobility training. So getting onto a bus and getting to a store isn't something that they can do yet. So then they're just limited to what they can grab or order. So I think that a blindness does come into nutrition a lot. And I've seen it when I was at some of my internships. I had a couple of people who actually were visually impaired. And I noticed that a lot of the healthcare team would hand them stuff that they couldn't read. And then they would just kind of mark them off as being non-compliant. It's like, well, but you just provided them with information they can't read. And a lot of people don't know where to get nutrition facts labels that are accessible. And a really good website for that is directionsforme.org.
Directions for Me, brought to you by Horizons for the Blind. Get directions instantly with our new barcode scanner. Welcome to Directions for Me, your one-stop source for accessible packaging information. Directions provides the information that's on consumer packages or labels in a simple online format for anyone who has trouble reading the small print, including people who are blind or visually impaired. This site provides a consistent, quality source of complete packaging information for everything from preparation or cooking instructions to ingredient lists to nutrition and drug facts labels for many common grocery, health and beauty and general merchandise products. In addition, it also provides potentially life-saving allergy and drug interaction warnings for those watching their carbohydrates, carbs, fat, sodium or cholesterol intake.
Directions provides
a user-friendly way to get access. Yes, absolutely. It's a project through Horizons for the Blind. Mm-hmm. And they have taken not only the nutrition facts label from all the products, but the directions from the products, like on the boxes of how to make cakes and stuff like that. And also like the ingredients, allergy information, contact information, or anything else that you're going to see on the box is all on their website. So it's a really great place. Another pretty good one too for the iPhone, and it's free, is an app called Calorie King.
Calorie King Food Search. Need a quick and easy way to check calories, carbs, and fat? The Calorie King Food Database is America's best and most reliable, trusted by health professionals everywhere. It contains over 70,000 foods and includes 260 fast food chains and restaurants. The Calorie King Calorie Counter for iPhone has a user-friendly interface that allows a quick comparison of calories, carbs, and fat between foods. By tapping on a specific food, you can quickly access more detailed information, including protein, fiber, saturated fat, trans fat, cholesterol, sodium, and alcohol. Dieting is never easy, but Calorie King can help by providing the information you need to reach your goal weight.
Yes, that one seems to be pretty accessible, and you can, you know, like if you're going to Subway, you can look up your sandwiches there too.
Oh, really?
It's not just, oh yeah.
So when you're talking about processed foods, you're talking about stuff that has a huge shelf life. So when you actually like take that and break it down, there's a lot of stuff in there you probably don't even need in your body.
Well, yeah, because there's all kinds of like stuff they add to it to keep it steady on the shelf that, you know, we probably don't need. With the blind community, I think it's just such a hard thing because just getting to the store is such a task in and of itself. And then if you don't get the amount of help you need, or you're fearful that what you're buying is going to be perished in a few days, or...
Oh, yeah. I remember going on those vegetable crazes, and you get all these vegetables, and 3 days later, it's like, you're not going to eat all of that. You know, you got 10 apples, 10 oranges, 10 pears.
Yeah.
You had good intention.
Yeah, that's why I like to deal with, like, some of the frozen products, because then you're... It's still a really good deal, like frozen broccoli, for example, and it's not so perishable, but people are still getting what they need.
Really?
And I put up I found this website that has this guide for like how long you can freeze stuff. It was an image, and I sent them an email and said, hey, would you have an accessible format of this image? Because I would really like it. And I think that, you know, our listeners would be interested in.
That's right. You sent me that link.
Yes. And that's an example of just, I mean, within an hour, I had it. So it wasn't like I could just be like, oh, it's not accessible and be mad about it. But it's like, all I did was send him a, you know, there's a contact us form. And I said, hey, I'm, you know, want this information. Would you have an accessible format, you know, possibly in Word? And
within,
I got it within
an hour. Wow.
I got it. So, I mean, sometimes it's just asking the questions, I think.
Well, there's so many people that go through so many routines and they're using old templates from yesteryear, you know, and they just do the stuff that they're used to doing. They're not aware that how easy it is for them to make it accessible to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big thing that you did make that email. Take that email and just say, hey.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't think it was that difficult, or maybe they just had it lying around. I don't know. There was a tweet yesterday, I think it was, that how to make your ebook successful for blind people. And it wasn't even a blindness related company. They just are aware that there's a need and they're trying to help. So
I know that spread like wildfire real quick.
Yeah.
That's great.
Did you get a lot of reshares?
You know, it kept coming back for the next 2 days. There was another addition to it, or someone else bridged it off here. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really neat when, like you said, you know, a company that has nothing to do with it, but they don't realize it. And all of a sudden they did realize it, and bang, there it is. And they're advocating for it.
Yeah, so that's where we come in. It's just not only to tell the people that know, but, you know, to try to create relationships with those that don't know. And I think that you've been part of that as well, just contacting different app developers and saying, hey, this isn't accessible. What was it, that one Wonderlist or something like that?
Wonderlist, Bespeakler, Audio Boom.
Yeah.
Blind Abilities app, when that first came out, there was issues, and it was amazing how some of these companies that you talk to, that, you know, they turn their head and it's like, huh, you know, you got to give a shout out to companies that do that, because, you know, in the big world, you know, I'm sure they're looking at the mass market and all that stuff, but when they do take that extra stuff and make it accessible, make it inclusive, you know, that's where, you know, we come in, you come in, all of us come in, that, you know, take the time to go to the little part that says send feedback.
Well, I think the other thing that more of you and Pete have been doing is just sometimes things change. So it doesn't become inaccessible. The accessibility just changes somehow, or the layout or whatever. And so trying to navigate through that is hard for a lot of people because you're so used to like three swipes and then you do this, or, you know, whatever the routine is. So it's kind of getting out of that routine. But and I think that's why it's important for you guys to put up stuff like, hey, they changed it, but it's still accessible. Because yeah. A lot of people start complaining and like, it's not accessible anymore. And it's like, it is accessible. It's just they changed the layout.
I did this example one time to a person. I was giving a small speech. It was a small group of people. And I was giving an example. And I said, now this is what you produced. And I described a Mr. Potato Head. But this is how we see it. And I moved all the features all over the place. I said, this isn't right to us. You know, it's still, it is.
The eyes are where the ears are.
It's still a Mr. Potato Head, but it just doesn't work right for us, you know? So we need some accessibility that puts it all back together how we interpret it.
Well, and some of them are so simple, like just labeling buttons or, you know, and a lot of times they don't have trouble with that, but they do have to take a little bit of time to send it off to the App Store. And then by the time it actually gets out for update. So in the meantime,
you know, it's so fast to say it's not working, but you forget that it's been working for 9 months perfectly and you've been using it all the time. So that's why I try and get into their beta team, or they suggest a Boss Jock. I've been on theirs for a few years here, and they actually advocate for the blind to use their app, you know, because they said it helps them. And sometimes when they take the time to look at what they're doing that's labeled, it actually improves their app for the sighted people, because they put it in a more, I don't know, a better layout, a better structure. It just seems to be working for everybody. Just like curb cuts work for everybody when they're just intended for wheelchairs, you know?
Yeah, a lot of things have multiple purposes. I mean, I remember a few weeks ago, my husband was playing a video game, but he wanted to watch a movie, so he turned on the DVS so that he could know what was going on in the movie, so he could watch the screen of his, you know, of his iPad. But, I mean, he's not blind. He doesn't need DVS, but he found another way to do it.
NBC and Comcast, they're putting audio description on the Olympics during primetime.
Mm-hmm.
Comcast has done quite a few things. Remember they had the Wizard of Oz girl, kind of like how she sees it, that advertisement they had for audio description.
And his clothes have tubes on them.
She imagines herself in the movie.
And that's Dorothy. She looks like me.
They all walk together on a yellow road.
Everyone has a favorite movie. Now, people with visual disabilities can find theirs. Comcast is proud to introduce the
Grammys
first talking guy
with Stevie Wonder. It's starting to come to the forefront a little bit. And even part of the Grammys, they had one section where they're talking about audio description during that. So they're testing that area. It's neat to be seeing this happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to what happened with the deaf community years ago. When it first came out, they thought that closed captioning would just benefit the deaf. But now, if you walk into a fitness facility, the music's so loud or whatever, you can't see the TV. So they got the closed captioning going. So it's not for the deaf. It's because they realize that people that are going to be in there aren't going to hear the TV and they might want to know what's going on. So it's just getting the word out. And I think a lot of people actually would be interested in a lot of this audio description. Say, for example, if you're driving down the road in your car and you want to watch a show, you just turn it on your phone and have it come through your speakers. And if they're describing everything that's on the screen, then I think it's just letting them know that it's there and available. Have other people start using it. And then all of a sudden, they'll start demanding it. Like, I can't watch this show while I'm driving to work. So
people say, oh, I read the book or I saw the movie. I have another category. It's the audio described stuff, because it casts a different... Forrest Gump is a great example of a great job.
Yeah. And a lot of times it's just stuff you wouldn't know. Like they read out the screen, like somebody texted or something like...
Yeah.
That you don't know what they're doing, but hey, they just texted something. And obviously that's important information. So.
But they're filling in the paint by numbers, you know, they're just adding a little bit of color here and there to that canvas that you're imagining.
Well, and the interesting thing is, and I think it's sort of an encouraging thing, it's like there used to be like three people that describe movies. You either got the guy, and then there was like two different females. And I got a movie the other day, it was somebody new. I'm like, oh, they hired somebody new. Because it wasn't the other three.
They're hiring.
Yeah. But that would be a great job for people. Like, say, for example, they're trying to get their way into the movie industry or something like that. And I think
voiceovers,
it's just, yeah. Yeah, do voiceovers.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've seen a couple companies try and come along with a Segway type of thing that you use your own phone and you download the file and you key it in at the theater, or the theaters have the remotes, the FM stuff, and none of the people at the movie theater know how they work, or the batteries are dead.
Or they give you the one for the deaf.
Yeah, it's interesting, but you know, how can you really push that thing when some movie theaters might get three people a month that use it? You know, it's not an everyday. It's not as busy as that quarter horse on the outside of Walmart, you know?
It's such a difference, because I remember when me and my husband first started dating, I had enough sight that if I sat in the front row, I could kind of gather a lot of what was going on at least. And then as I lost more sight, it kind of like, you know, he's still a really big movie goer. Like, he really loves movies. And so, but for me, it was like just kind of sitting there, can't follow along. He's trying to explain it, but then it's sort of ruining his experience too. People are getting mad around us because, oh, why would he just shut up, you know? So, I mean, this is this whole, like, ridiculous thing. And it just got to a point where it's like, I don't even want to go anymore because I don't really feel like I can enjoy myself. And it's kind of expensive to go. I remember the first time we went to the theater, it wasn't really expected, but I just thought, you know what, I'm going to ask just to ask. And they said, oh, yeah. And I remember my husband telling me that they opened up this door and they had like a whole wall of them. I mean, just headset after headset.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, wow. You know, we had a couple kinks where the guy had to come like reset it or something like that. But it was amazing because I was able to follow along in the movie and I didn't have to limit myself, because before it was like, well, we can go see like the, I don't know, like romantic comedy or something, because those are easier to follow along. But you can't go see like a action movie because you, I mean, it's just mostly, I mean, there'll be 5-10 minutes of just music, you don't know what's going on.
Oh yeah.
So the first time I watched it, and you know, he's watching me, and I'm like getting all like, oh my god, what's gonna happen, you know, in my chair. And you know, it was exciting for him because he could see me like getting excited about stuff, and I didn't have to limit what I could watch, and I didn't have to, you know, it was something that I could be a part of. So even if there's three people that use it, come on, you know.
I don't like using the word eye opener, but it is very cool. Especially like the Olympics now, they're not doing the greatest job on it. You know, it's like they're adding a few things here and there, but
yeah,
that's live. I mean, they didn't get, you know, that person is sitting there live just trying to, I'm going to interject now, and they don't know if Mr. NBC guy is going to start talking or something. So they're doing these quick little quips, you know.
Well, and also this is the first time that it's been done, so they can only go up from here. But hey, I mean, if that's a thing, there's what, baseball games on every night, there's basketball, we got football coming up. I mean, mm-hmm. A lot of people in the blind community, I think, kind of shy away from that stuff because I don't know what's going on.
At least they're experimenting and trying it, giving it a whirl, casting up. I mean, that's a big screen. The Olympics, that's a huge theater around the world, and they're doing it.
Well, and anytime you start something, there's gonna be growing pains. You're gonna, oh wait, that didn't work, or this was horrible, let's try something new. So they didn't do it the last time around.
Well, it made it off the drawing board. They implemented it and everything like that. And that's like with blind abilities, like there's a lot of stuff that when I look back 2 years ago, what we were doing, we went into the blindabilities.com. We got the app just because we wanted more of a stationary platform to sit on, because we didn't know where Audio Boom was moving. And they kind of went into a radio player type of deal. But Audio Boom community keeps on morphing itself into another group of people that find it useful and stuff. So we're still there. We still have a presence there. And
well, it was like when I first came along, back in 2014, which it doesn't sound like a long time ago, but it seems like it. It was like, there's all this stuff. It was like a treasure trove of information that I found. And so I think that's what the website allows, is all that information to be in one place. And there's a search button and you can look up whatever it is that you're interested in and see if something's out there.
Mm-hmm. And even on the app, that search, it's right at the top.
Yeah, and the one thing I really like about the app is its ability to replay. Like, you leave the app, you come back. Do you want to resume? Yes.
Well, thanks a lot, Lucy, for coming on and sharing all your ambitions and all the work that you've been doing for Blind Abilities. And I'm sure there's a lot more coming with your blogs, the podcasts, and a lot of information that you keep on generating. Good content.
Well, thank you. And if anybody has anything that they want me to cover, then please give us feedback. It's info@blindabilities.com.
And they can get you on Twitter at
MoLucie. That's MoELUCIE. And you'll come across my daily motivational posts if anybody's interested.
Hey, you got me going. I put one out there.
Yeah. You gotta just put your mind in the right area every day. And that's why I post them. So hopefully they're helpful to somebody. They're helpful to me. So
good stuff, good stuff, and good stuff on your blogs, your podcasting, and your motivational segments on Twitter. So follow MoLucie on Twitter, follow her on Blind Abilities, and thanks a lot for coming on.
Thanks.
When we share
what we see through each other's eyes,
we can then begin to bridge the gap between the limited expectations and the realities of blind abilities.
For more podcasts with a blindness perspective, check us out on the web at www.blindabilities.com, on Twitter at blindabilities, download our app from the App Store, Blind Abilities, that's two words, or send us an email at info@blindabilities.com. Thanks for listening.